Hi, and welcome to today's episode of So What's Up. Today we're going to talk about how not to reply to emails at 3 a.m. in the morning.
Simple's that one. I'm sleeping.
Fair. All right. Podcast over, right. It's a thing that used to come up more, actually, and you see this on LinkedIn a lot, where people try and talk about work-life balance and how to cope with this. And I think it's more of a new business thing because everyone feels like they need to be super responsive and amazing and great and provide great customer service to everybody. But in reality, who really needs to reply to an email at 3 o'clock in the morning?
Veering back.
And I'm sure every one of us have done that.
If my old boss is listening to this, take note.
Yes. I know your old boss, and and sending emails to client to staff and clients at 3 o'clock in the morning was not a great plan.
I think I wouldn't call them emails. I'd call them mission statements.
Yeah. And when we first started, you know, we did a lot of this. You know, I'd have emails on my phone. I'd get back to clients at 10, 11, 12 o'clock at night or whenever I saw it. And to be fair, it really does take over your home life, just dealing with people's emails. But what I certainly found was by not replying, people stop sending them because then they don't expect to reply. And for a period of time, I know I went through a bit of a pushback from clients going, oh, you used to be really great at getting back to me at 7 o'clock at night. I'm like, yes, but you know, I've now got a child and something else to do. And so it was all very different. But
you have a child?
Apparently. I see her every now and then. But it's just one of those things where, if you have nothing else to do and you actually don't mind, it's okay. But as soon as you want a life, it's not sustainable.
But then on the other hand, when you're replying to people, say they've sent it at, I don't know, 7 and you reply at 11, they might get that ping through and think they have to deal with it then, even though they weren't going to.
Yeah, I used to do quite a bit of that as well. For me, it was more of a work process that, my fear was if I'd go to sleep without thinking or answering about that, it'd go unanswered the next day. So I just want to get it answered and sent. So whether that was a response to a quote or whether that was a question on a technical aspect, it would always be that service delivery is get an answer to that customer straight away, regardless of that time. And early days, you know, I mean, like we all got families now, so priorities change. But early days, we were all guilty of it. In terms of going home and then really, you know, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 1 o'clock.
But there were also less of us then, so everything was done just between a small number of people. So there was not more to do as such, but we were spread a bit thinner.
Yeah, and I think our enthusiasm, you know, we're younger, you know, don't need as much sleep. But I certainly, like James, went through that period of emails. And, you know, I even went to the point where I'd turn off my notifications so I wouldn't get notified of anything at those points. And I think this technology, the focus mode, is it now? Yeah, you can turn off. So,
did you go through a point where you actually took the emails off your phone?
Yeah, I go through phases of doing that, actually. In fact, I don't actually currently have my work emails on my phone unless I actively go to the Gmail website to log in and see it. Just because most things aren't that important. And also, I think, you know, we've been better as a business at communicating boundaries on that. So, you know, for example, we have a whole support team to handle things like websites not being online. And all our clients that pay us for that know how to deal with that, which means they don't have to come to personal emails. Yeah. And there's other ways of notifying people if there's issues. And so, yeah, we've got better as a business at sort of setting those boundaries to say, you know, we're not a business that's going to support you at 11 o'clock at night. We may choose to, and to be honest, if I happen to notice a new inbound inquiry from a client, I may well still be tempted to reply at 11:30.
Yeah, I mean, that's the difference, though. That's the difference between you. You'll see that new, you'll jump on that, whereas I'm on the service delivery side. You know, it's like you say, we've got a support team and that. Well, I'm the support team support mechanism. So they look at me when things aren't done or ordered, and I sort of have to allocate that back to whoever. And it's just, again, we discussed it in a recent podcast, the Christmas times is, you know, the hours, the working hours, we work 9 to 5. The reason we choose to work 9 to 5 really is because that's the majority of our customers work 9 to 5. But then we also have another small catchment of customers that, like us, are reasonable sized businesses, but still have to operate outside of those hours now and then. And I think we choose our partners, our service partners, so like our hosting providers, based on their merits of their support. And I had a client the other week, James, when I think we were messaging, I think it was 11:30 at Friday night, wasn't it? And their website had gone offline. And I was speaking to the hosting provider at 12:45 to find out why that site was off. And by, I think it was 2:00 in the morning, the site was back on. But at the same time, I found out that our developers, one of our support teams and one of the creative directors had actually spotted that issue as well and resolved. And it, so it kind of...
But I think it'll feel, it's all a balance, isn't it? If you feel like you, everything's in balance, you don't mind doing it from time to time, but you, it's something that, you know, it's not a routine thing that we would choose to do. And I think from, I think it doesn't help sometimes where we're quite friendly with a lot of our customers and they potentially have us on other social media mechanisms as well. Yeah. So, like, I know I've had WhatsApp messages or Facebook Messenger messages of clients from time to time, not even urgent things, but they'll message you, and because then it's in your inbox, you want to reply to it, which I don't mind doing. And say we are good friends with clients, and but it's very much the exception, not the rule, I think, to do that now.
Yeah, and I think again, we've discussed this many times, is that we, over the years, back in the day, we would work with a lot of people. Not every one of those people were understanding customers. They, their needs were priority, and you, they pay you for a service, they expect that.
They sort of acted like they were our only customer.
Yeah. And whereas nowadays, as we've matured and we've grown and our relationships have developed, we work with people that are on the same level of understanding in terms of their business life balance. You know, I've got a customer that runs 3 million retail on their website. They're off often enjoying family things, but when priorities take over with the work, they're there. And it's good to see customers having that work-life balance. And that's kind of what I try to follow. And you feel that if those people understand your work-life balance, you tend to get on with them better and you support them better, because they've got that same sort of attitude in terms of, well, yeah, it's an inappropriate time, or it's a difficult situation at an out-of-hours time, but what can we do to get this resolved? Whereas if someone sends you, like I had an email the other night, is, you know, website off. And it was like, well, I'm going to assume your website's offline. But it's no further explanation, no nothing. And I take that as that's a demand.
Yeah.
You know, that's a, you know, yeah, I'll look at it. It's not great. But at the same point, are you shouting at me or are you asking me? Because if you just said, hey, our website's offline, is it the hosting situation?
Would you mind looking?
Yeah. Is it? You kind of, I mean, I'd go into it anyway, but it sort of sets that tone up for.
Of course it does,
don't it? And I vaguely remember that because, again, it was late at night and my son wasn't sleeping. And I just remember going, oh, yeah, I'll look at it. And the wife's asking, why are you getting your laptop open and all that stuff? And said, we've got to log on and look at this. And I kind of begrudgingly did it. And I kind of almost did it, but didn't feel the need to go back to the client to say, it's resolved.
You weren't doing it with love.
Yeah, I always do everything with love. But it's more, whereas the clients that we work with these days have that level of understanding. And I think that's picking, you know, picking
and choosing. Do you think is it that everyone's evolved to be a bit more like that? Or are we just the kind of people we...
I think it's a bit of both. Drawing. Everyone's evolved to that, but also post-COVID.
I was thinking that.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people, like I was talking to a customer this morning, his wife works for Coutts, you know, the bank, banking. They had a 5,000-man office. They got rid of it. Yeah, now they've got a 3,000-man office. You book a space and you turn up, but she rarely goes.
Working from home has changed a lot.
It's changed the dynamic. And I was talking to someone else the other day, and they applied for a job on the merit that they didn't have to go in the office. And I remember them saying that if they made me go in the office full-time, I wouldn't go.
Well, I've got a friend looking for a job, and she doesn't want to have to work from home. She wants to go to an office, so it puts her off applying if it says...
Likewise, when we opened up the office after COVID the second time, saying, do you want to work hybrid or do you want to come in the office? And everyone was in the office. Yeah. And I think that's our collaboration.
It's also nice to have the option if you do need to be at home for whatever reason.
Yeah, but I think with that dynamic, that allowing people to work from home, the difficulty a lot of those people have, my wife being one of them, is it's that ability to draw that line that you've finished... that job, you know, you're in your home office or wherever you've got your station, and you kind of, do you turn your computer off and walk out the room, close the door and say, that's your office done, you're not going back? Or it's like, I'm guilty of it. Like, I'm sure that leaving your laptop on the side, you'll be doing something with the kids and you'll hear it ping and you'll go, I'll go back to that later when the kids gone to bed. And it's that, how do you draw those murky lines between you're at home working from home, but your laptop's there or your computer's there, you can access it at any time. I'll just look at it. I mean, sometimes back in the olden days, early days, James, and when we were early in our infancy, is I would thrive off doing those late night emails because that's when I could focus.
Yeah, you loved it.
Yeah, that was I would literally, I think my golden hours were like 9 till midnight was because that's the hours that no one would bother me.
Before you had children.
Well, yeah, before I had children. And I think now with having children, the golden hour still exists, but for different reasons. Yeah. Because it's the golden hour is now is the only time my children aren't going to bother me.
Use it wisely.
Yeah, use it wisely, whether that's catching up with the wife or whether that's having a movie or, you know, having a late tea that we can enjoy without the kids trying to climb over us. Or work sometimes. I think, again, it's your personal circumstances based on what you know where you are and what you're doing.
I think we're always really conscious of the staff as well, aren't we? And making sure people don't feel obligated to do this. So, yeah, we're quite clear that we're a 9 till 5.30 business. And if they choose to look at their emails, that's very much their choice. But we never ask them to do that.
No. Yeah, I think it was like that recent instance with the Friday night, late night website going off. Is that I found out the developer in the creative director. One of my first tasks when I came in on the Monday was, well, who asked you to do that?
Yeah.
And they both responded, saying, no, we spotted it and we solved it. And it fills you with a little bit of warmth that they wanted to.
Yeah.
But at the same point, I also had to remind them that you didn't have to.
Don't make a habit of it.
Well, it's not don't make a habit. It's more you didn't have to do that.
Yeah.
We appreciate that. But it's the undue stress that they put themselves through that they don't have to take that on if they don't need to. And we appreciate that and acknowledge that. And I think that's part of, again, back towards the reward that we try and give them with downtime at Christmas. Is that, look, it's a family time. That's the time to be with your family. So, I do think the culture, a healthy work-life balance is an important one. Again, depending on who you are and what your sort of work ethos is, people I've worked with in the industry before, you know, I know that they would be up at 3 a.m. sending those mission statements.
I think especially in our industry, a lot of bigger agencies, it was very much the custom that people would work overtime, they'd work into the night, they'd get back to people any time, day, night, early morning. And we never really wanted to work that way with our team. And I think, we do sometimes have to remind the team that other creative and marketing agencies in existence, especially the bigger names, do expect that extra level of time from people to deal with that, because some of their account managers are working at night and they need something there and then. And there's a lot of that that goes on in our industry.
I think we learned from doing that ourselves at the beginning, though, didn't we? That wasn't the way to go.
Well, I know an agency that runs, you have to be doing 120%. So 100% of your job and picking up 20% of another project.
Yeah.
That's how they expect you. I mean, they're paid well for it. But that's the high need of and demand of those sort of sectors. Whereas we've always ridden that line that we want to, we want to work people we want to work with, but we also want to do work that we'll enjoy. And speaking to the team when we do our catch-ups is one of the main things is that team health in terms of their morale, their mental health. That's a big thing, these days. It's making sure that they're in an environment that they want to come and work at.
Yeah, because you spend so much time here.
Yeah, you do.
To be miserable is just...
Yeah, and asking, and hence the extracurricular sort of support that was offered a couple of weeks ago was if that was for an employer that demanded they do those things, they probably wouldn't have been as proactive in responding to it. But because they understand the needs...
would have been burnt out anyway.
Oh, yeah. And because they understand our needs and the business needs that our business needs are to keep our customers online, is that they dealt with that and resolved it. So...
I think it's just evolving. I think everyone at different stages of their life go through different times where this is okay or not okay, or they feel overworked by it or not overworked by it. And I think like you said, children are a big factor on that, but also hobbies, outside interests, just time that you just get, you just want time on your own. There's a million reasons why it doesn't work to keep on replying to people into the wee hours of the morning.
Well, yeah, it's like those boundaries that you set, isn't it? It's the where do you say no? How do you say no? And how is that delivered? And
will you you always worry that you might lose the customer by saying no?
Yeah, I think that was always our biggest fear, was if I don't say no to that.
Then. Yeah, just say yes to everything and then deal with it afterwards.
Yeah, that used to be my philosophy.
Yeah.
But now it's the maturity that we've got, I think getting older, and kids definitely just change that dynamic. But business, our business is built on the foundation of, we used to say yes to everything because we wanted that business. Mm-hmm. We're now of a mature age and a stability where we don't need to take on all that business.
No, we're lucky enough to be able to choose.
Yeah, because me and James often have discussions with these projects. And I think one recently came up, James, that we were talking about, and we both kind of looked at him and went, do we want that? Do we want that work? Because that's really going to put us all under huge pressure. Mm. And revenue-wise, it's not going to make a massive difference because the additional resource we're going to have to put into it. And generally, you've got to go through those man maths in terms of thinking logically, what's the reason for doing what you're doing?
But we've come a long way to be able to do that, haven't we?
Yeah. You
the confidence to do it as well.
Confidence, but also, yeah, it's hard work to get to a level of stability where you can start to make those decisions based on those merits. Mm. But not everyone's in those positions. And no. I guess people that are listening to this, they may be in a position where they're trying to grow their independent consultancy, or they may be able to grow their B2B, or they're a retail client, or they sell a product, or they service an industry. And it's working out those sort of, if you're self-employed, you have to respond. Mm. If you've got a team, how do you allocate that? And I think one of the biggest things that I've learned over my years is that it's that allocation of workload and spread it evenly and making sure that the correct people know the correct tasks and know the correct things they need to do, responsibility and accountability. So, for example, John, one of our guys, I hold everything on him from a studio production point of view. He knows I'm going to go to him and not to one of the team.
Yeah.
So he will always come to me when there's a first problem so that it's dealt with proactively rather than reactively. Mm-hmm. And I think he's learned as well, because I put a lot of work on him, is that actually we have this mutual sort of, you know, we're finishing, this is our family time, we'll pick that up tomorrow. Mm. So, and again, not everyone's in those positions, but it's my personal sort of way of dealing with that is to ensure that you have a good team around you.
And I say we're fortunate to be in that position, but we've worked very hard to get there. Isn't luck.
Yeah, you know, you do forget. I mean, how many years is it now? 20?
It's a long time.
Not quite that long, but yeah.
It feels like it.
Feels like more.
I think that's my marriage. It does.
16?
It does feel like it, but yeah, we've come a long way and we've had a lot of battles. Mm. And, you know, Richard's not here to tell the tale.
Man down,
he's unwell. But we have gone through a lot. And I think sometimes you do forget to pat yourself on the back in terms of the achievements you've made. You know, we've made some mess ups.
I mean, I had someone say to me in the past about how lucky I was. I was like, well, when you break it down, actually, we put a lot of, you know, there were risks we took and time put into it. It's not luck.
I think lucky in terms of the opportunity that we've carved for ourselves.
But we did that.
Yeah, we've done it, but you've always got to go with hindsight's a wonderful thing. But it's like I always say to my wife in terms of the flexibility that we give ourselves.
Absolutely.
You can't put a price on that.
You really can't. Yeah.
So
again, especially, I know we harped on a bit about children, but especially when you've got children and you might need to run off at the drop of the hat to deal with something.
Yeah, it's exactly. So,
Cool. Well, I mean, it's something that's always evolving. And I think, you know, I'm sure it'll evolve again as we all come out of the phase of having children. I mean, obviously, Mike, you've got a fair way to go with that. But
we're really into the teenage phase.
We're within literal, you can count the months before she can move out. So then life will change again. And, you know, maybe we'll be back to answering emails at midnight. But say if anybody is looking for a project or wants to connect with us in working hours, contact us at hello@somarketing.com.
If you wish to do that out of hours, you can email Michael at somarketing.com and I may respond.
Yeah, potentially.